Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Men, find relief from BPH with a new Aquablation therapy from Baptist Memorial Hospital, North Mississippi. Embrace life again with the only real-time water jet treatment for men with BPH. Call 662-234-1448 and get better with Baptist.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
A little bit late because we waited for baseball to end, and honestly, that was kind of a mistake. Welcome into Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Late on this rainy Thursday night. I did not know it was supposed to rain where I sit. I knew that the weather in Baton Rouge was not looking particularly good, but weather apparently not going to be good here either. So, all right, it's just going to be a rainy weekend all around, but I'm glad you guys are here. My name, of course, is Michael Borky. I appreciate you being here as always. Again, even though we're a little bit late tonight, waiting for the end of the baseball game, which was 5-1 LSU. Ole Miss is down to their final two games, it seems. They are just one game above 500 at this point, 11-17 in the SEC. I know Teddy Cahill of Baseball America, who I really like and enjoy, and he comes on our radio show a good bit, excellent at what he does, kind of challenged the idea that 13 is a magic number. Really good piece. You guys should read it. I'm not going to spoil it all for you, but I do think that without winning the next two and at least one in Hoover, it's probably it for Ole Miss baseball. We'll get to that if you guys want to get to that. What I've got for you tonight, though, and I know some people think these are stupid, I appreciate the conversation fodder this time of year. Anything to get you talking about college football. CBS did a head coach. All right. Sorry. What a great start to the night this is. I didn't even touch anything this time. It's not even my fault. It just disappeared on me. Let's just roll with it until I can figure out what the issue is, huh? There we go. There's part of it. And we're back. All right. Huh. Anyway, sorry about that. So I don't even know how to edit that out of the post-production either. I don't know how to do that. So we're just going to roll with it. Good start to the night. We're late, and now we're losing signal and connection. Can't possibly get worse, but that's okay. Anyway, so I appreciate the conversation fodder. Anything to talk college football in May, I'm all for, and I'm happy we have it. CBS did a head coach ranking, the top 25 coaches in college football entering this season, and I profoundly disagree with it. So we're going to talk through that. We'll talk some baseball, get to your comments and all that good stuff right here on this edition of the Rebel Report. Please follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y, and wherever you get your podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube, and if you are, sorry that you have to suffer through this. But if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the website, pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know in sports, especially in college sports, injuries are unavoidable, but they're not supposed to happen to you in your everyday life. But they do, unfortunately, happen to you in your everyday life. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, call attorney DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today, located in Saltillo, Mississippi. He will discuss all of your legal options. He will take great care of you. You may not need him today, but save this number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report, even on bad nights like this one. For all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. So, let's see. CBS released their top 25 college football coaches. I'll start with 20 and work my way down, and then we'll talk about it. So that at 20, they have Mark Stoops at Kentucky. At 19, they have Louisville's Jeff Brohm. At 18, Kirk Ferentz of Iowa. 17, Luke Fickell of Wisconsin. 16, Dave Doran of NC State. Getting a little love is Dave Doran. And I like that. I think he's earned that. He's really consistent, maybe a little boring, but really consistent in NC State. That was a good pick. Mike Gundy at 15 of Oklahoma State. Lane Kiffin at 14, as voted on by the experts at CBS and 24/7 Sports. Chris Klieman of Kansas State at 13. Lance Leipold of Kansas at number 12. James Franklin at number 11. Yeah, that James Franklin. Lincoln Riley at 10. Dan Lanning at 9. Mike Norvell at 8. Kalen DeBoer at 7. Kyle Whittingham at 6. Sarkisian at 5. Brian Kelly. I've stopped saying the colleges, but you guys know these names by now, right? Brian Kelly at 4. Dabo Swinney at 3. Ryan Day at 2. Kirby Smart at 1. That is the CBS / 24/7 Sports top 25 coaches in college football. And so I think the formula to kind of figuring this out is pretty simple. I don't necessarily care, honestly, about what you did 5-10 years ago. Like Dabo Swinney, I don't think you should judge him based on, well, he won a national championship before the NIL era or before the portal era, right? I am more concerned about who you are today. What have you done for me lately? And so here is how I rationalize this discussion, or here's how I formulate my take on coach rankings in college football. Think of it like if the Saudis get bored with ruining professional golf and they want to get into the college football world and they create a college football program out of thin air where money is not an option and you are their new athletic director for $50 million a year and you have an unlimited budget to hire a college football coach. So you're starting a program and you will not get said no to, right? You're starting a program, you're representing the Saudis here, you're starting a college football program, and you get to choose your coach. In what order do you make the phone calls? In what order do you make the calls? That is how I kind of decide how to do this. Not what you did 5-10 years ago. Who are you right now? Do I want you coaching my college football team this season? And I think that the rankings here, and a lot of rankings you see, don't reflect that rationale, but that's the best way to rank coaches. And so since this is an Ole Miss-based podcast, let's talk about Lane Kiffin's ranking at number 14. There are great coaches in front of him. I think Klieman and Leipold have done excellent jobs at the places where they are. Those Kansas jobs are not easy, and they've done a really good job there. James Franklin, albeit somebody that Lane Kiffin just kind of stuffed into a locker in the Peach Bowl, good, consistent football coach. Lincoln Riley has Heisman Trophy winners. Lanning is an up-and-coming star for sure. I don't know if necessarily he's proven, but still. Mike Norvell took Florida State to an undefeated season. Kalen DeBoer took Washington to the playoff. Sark took Texas to the playoff, and on and on. But let's do it this way. If you had the choice between Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin, who would you take? I would take Kirby Smart. I think it's very simple. I know that he's got a ton of resources and Georgia's all bought in on player acquisition, but that's kind of part of the job anyway. But he's taking those players and he's winning with those players. He is tier one all by himself in college football right now as a head coach. Kirby Smart, you obviously take ahead of Lane Kiffin. I've already got reservations at number two. I've already got a hesitation at number two. Because what about Ryan Day now, today, tells you that he's a better football coach, by 12 spots, by the way, but a better football coach than that of Lane Kiffin? What has Ryan Day done at Ohio State that has made you think that there is only one coach in the entire United States of America better than him? If you were starting a program, would Ryan Day be your second phone call? Absolutely not. He certainly would not be mine. He was handed the keys to a Ferrari, and he's driving the speed limit with him. Don't get me wrong. Ohio State is good under him. They're consistently good. But they're losing to Michigan. They are, I mean, again, handed the keys to a Ferrari. They're good, but not elite. And how many coaches on this list that he's in front of would do the exact same, if not better, with the resources that are handed to him at Ohio State? They should be an absolute juggernaut. They dominate a talent-rich and highly populated state. They've got the money. They've got the facilities. They've got everything. Ohio State has everything. And he's got his fans wanting him fired. Have you been at all impressed with Ohio State in any way since he's taken over? I have not. So there's one that I would move behind Lane Kiffin. Dabo Swinney today over Lane Kiffin today. Clemson fans would call me nuts for saying this, but when you factor in the new era and what they are right now, I think I would rather have Lane Kiffin coach my brand new Saudi Arabian funded program than Dabo Swinney. Dabo's resume is much better. It is much, much better. But what are you right now? I'm kind of concerned about the methods of Dabo Swinney moving forward. So that one might be debatable for some. I don't think it's particularly debatable right now. And what you're seeing, I think, when some of these lists come out, by the way, is there are people that are still evaluating, like I mentioned with resumes before, like Dabo's resume is better than Kiffin's, right? But Kiffin 2024 is different than Kiffin 2022 even. A lot of the media talking head people, and I am one of them, but a lot of the people in this business still think of Lane Kiffin as the same, the exact same, as opposed to somebody that has, I don't know what he's like in his personal life behind the scenes or whatever, but I know as a coach, the way he's running the program at Ole Miss has dramatically changed in 2 years. Very, very different. Lane 2024 is different than Lane 21 and 22. I bet he'd tell you that if you'd ask him, but ask people that have worked or currently still work in that program. It's different now, and I think he's still being judged against things that he's done in the past to have him fall so far on a list like that. Anyway, Brian Kelly, if you were starting a program today, you are absolutely out of your mind if you hire Brian Kelly ahead of Lane Kiffin. So there's another one. Steve Sarkisian just took Texas to the playoffs. He has adapted to this era. He uses the portal and uses it well. I think Texas is a possible playoff team. Not a possible playoff team, frankly. I think they're a likely playoff team this year, despite losing a lot from last year's team. Sark's got it rolling. I would have no argument whatsoever if you put him ahead of Kiffin. Kyle Whittingham getting his flowers, done an excellent job at Utah, I would love to see what he'd be capable of at a place with a little bit higher resources. But if you're starting a program today, I don't think you call Kyle Whittingham ahead of Lane Kiffin. Kalen DeBoer did just take Washington to the national championship. Certainly fine with him being ahead of Kiffin. You guys may disagree, but I'm fine with that. I know that he hasn't been at this level very long, but he just took Washington to the national championship. He's very, very good. Mike Norvell just took Florida State undefeated. I think that I would hear the argument on both sides on that one. So just for the sake of this, let's keep him in front to see how many positions that I move him up on. Dan Lanning has not proven enough to me. I like Dan Lanning. I like everything he says. His game management makes me wonder a little bit. He's got a lot of resources. He says the right things. His teams are very good. But I need to see more yet before I think that I would take him over Kiffin at this moment. Lincoln Riley has the pedigree. He has the resume. He's been to the playoff. Lincoln Riley today versus Kiffin today. I think I'm taking Kiffin today. Obviously, James Franklin is not somebody, if you guys listen to me and have listened to me long enough, that I think is a better coach than Lane Kiffin. If you had the choice, it would be Kiffin over Franklin. I admire Leipold and Kleiman's the work that they've done where they are, but I would not choose them over Lane. So let's see where we are now. I said Smart, Sark, DeBoer, Norvell. Smart, Sark, DeBoer, Norvell, Kiffin. So if I was reshuffling this, and yes, I truly mean it, and I could back myself up on this, I believe. I think that if I were a representative of the PIF or whatever it is, and I had my choices of college football coach, Lane Kiffin would be the fifth call that I would make today. And that's possibly even being conservative. What do you guys think? Let me know. I would love to hear from you. Of course, a bunch of your messages have already come in. We'll get to those. And we'll get to those right after I tell you. The podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Sorry, this has been a sloppy episode of this. Please forgive me for that. Sundays will be better. But the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems. If it's tech and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online, absms.com. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with local loan servicing and decision making. So all you do is you get to know the person that will be deciding whether or not to give you a loan and then servicing that loan, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Welcome in. Glad to see you. Appreciate my content, but also creating a place to make some new friends like Brandon. Oh, well, that's really nice of you to say, man. Yeah, Brandon's the man, and you are too, Pat. Also, it's past 8:22. I'm late. I was late. I was late tonight. I also got a new office chair that I was building. But, yeah, I decided to wait until after the baseball game, and that was not particularly a great decision. So you'll donate one of my old satellite watches from the Marine days and teach me how to use it if we don't have to talk baseball. We don't have to if you don't have to. You'll donate whatever if we don't have to watch baseball anymore. Seems like Barron could be about to go to Miami. Yeah, you know, it for whatever reason, I read that intel that, what was it, Matt Zenit's intel today about that. You know, I've always thought that he was going to end up at Ole Miss, but the more this dragged on, maybe the sides cooled on each other. Maybe his asking price got too high. I don't know. I guess Chris Hardy is supposed to be visiting Ole Miss this weekend, according to Pete Thamel. He was first team all CUSA defensive lineman from Jacksonville State. People are talking about Princely's injury, had to get shoulder surgery, and whether or not they're recruiting this guy because of Princely's surgery. Now, that's certainly something that they're worried about. I haven't heard independently, like, injury timeline for him, whether he's going to be ready for the start of the season or not. It is a shoulder injury. Those things are, you know, it's not easy, especially for a rush end to just snap right out of. That's not an easy injury. So I don't know if he'll be ready for the start of the season or not. I think regardless of his health status, they were going to add a defensive lineman. So I don't know if necessarily these two things are connected, that they're bringing in another visitor. Also just had a linebacker visit as well from South Alabama. We talked about him before. But they're bringing in a defensive lineman for a visit because they needed one with or without the Umane Mielen injury. I think either way they were going to try to add one more. This visit tells me more about their standing with Barron than it does Princely's injury and what they think about it, if that makes sense. I could be wrong. I'm wrong often. I will admit if I'm wrong. But when I saw that, I thought this is more about not getting Barron than it is Princely's injury, because they were going to try to get one regardless. They need another body to play defensive line, especially on the outside. I know that they're going to get creative with linebackers. You saw that in the Peach Bowl, but they needed to add one more. So I think this is what that's about. You the man, Porky. Thank you. I appreciate you. Good to see you, Jerry. Glad you're here. Hot take here, but I don't see us winning more than one game this weekend. Yeah, I said on the radio show today, I asked, I guess, if tonight was a quote-unquote must win. I know that they really only had to get two, but LSU throwing their ace tomorrow, if they can actually play baseball tomorrow. The weather not looking great, I don't believe, but maybe they'll find a way to get it in. But either way, I think that them back-ending this series felt really unlikely. The bullpen pitched well tonight, but you know, bats didn't show up. I'm afraid that it is what it is at this point. And every person that says that follows that statement with, I hate to say it is what it is, but that is very applicable here. They didn't have it. They really blew a couple of early opportunities. That the whole bunting fiasco in the second inning was kind of embarrassing, frankly. And just a tough loss tonight. And I don't think they're winning the next two. And I don't think they're making the postseason. And if they don't win if they don't win each of the next two, I don't think that they deserve to make the postseason. This team has not been consistent enough. I don't think that they've earned that opportunity. So got my football season tickets picked out today. That's awesome. And you know, the prices, when you consider when you consider what the team should be, what I think they will be. And some of the home games, right? You have the Egg Bowl at home. You have Oklahoma, which will be huge. Georgia, which will be huge. The cost of the season ticket for Ole Miss this year is not that bad. I really don't think it's bad. Unfortunately, you don't have the Power 5 non-conference game on the schedule this year. But as far as season tickets go, they could have gouged. And, you know, maybe they did in some places. But I do think that the cost is not as bad as it could have been, considering the hype and the attention and all that in a limited capacity. They're going to sell out. I don't think they have officially sold out yet, but they absolutely will. 100% they're going to sell out. And so I'm happy for you, man. Enjoy it. Teams like this are few and far between at Ole Miss. Now, they are becoming more and more frequent every year under Lane Kiffin, but the roster that they have assembled is rather unique, because I think it's a roster that can contend. So enjoy yourself. Tide was very low fishing today, hoping they stay that way. I hear you. Season tickets are sold out as of now. Oh, so it already happened? If it hadn't happened yet, it was going to happen very, very soon. Every time I have a camera mishap, one fan gets a free Curtin Rod Chronicles shirt. Oh, man. You were happy with your tickets. The software they use actually worked okay, but the process was a little sketchy. Those big purchases always make me nervous. Anytime I'm buying very expensive tickets, I'm always afraid that I'm going to walk up to the gate, they're going to scan my phone, and it's going to say invalid, like I bought it from, and I'm SOL, right? I'm always afraid of that. But if you went through Ole Miss, it's fine. Obviously, you got it done. But the only SEC coach who is for sure ahead of Lane is Kirby. If I had to pick between the targets of Khalil Jacobs, Star James, and Chris Hardy, who would I take first? That's a great question. That is a great question. So Star Thomas, the running back, and Khalil Jacobs, the aforementioned linebacker from South Alabama. What do they need the most? That is a good question. I would say I think they need defensive line the most. They certainly don't need running back the most, but Thomas's style of rusher is something that they definitely could use. I like what they have at linebacker, albeit a little bit thin, and he has demonstrated the ability to get after the quarterback as well. So maybe you could get a two-for-one there, if even though he's not a true edge, if he's a linebacker, but he can still get after the quarterback and can be used in those packages. Maybe the answer is Jacobs. But I'm sticking with my guns. I'm sticking with defensive line. I think that they need Chris Hardy. Let me get some stats for you as well. I should have had those pulled up for you, but we'll go ahead and get that. Right now, played at Jacksonville State. That was a good Jacksonville State team this past year. In 2023, had 60 tackles, 8.5 sacks. Also had an interception that he returned for 58 yards and a pass breakup as well. 6'2", 270. So not not a giant or anything, but highly productive player in the Conference USA last year. Had four tackles and two sacks at South Carolina. So you love to see the production against SEC teams. So far in the list, you heard just a bunch of meh names. Yeah, without Saban, the top of college football, besides Kirby, is really kind of in limbo, right? It's really up in the air. Dabo's won championships, but it kind of feels like that program is falling off some, doesn't it? At least I think it does. Feels like they're falling off. There is a big debate about Kalen DeBoer and what he's going to do at Alabama. Frankly, I think he's going to end up being quite good, but still there are some people that have their doubts. Whittingham has been excellent, but people kind of forget about him out there at Utah. Sark has a solid resume, but things in the past, for different reasons, didn't go well. Brian Kelly has always been good, not great. You know, there's questions about all these guys. Lincoln Riley, I am not impressed with his last Oklahoma team and his run so far at USC at all. He lost a bunch of games with the number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. It's hard to just get super excited about what product Lincoln Riley's putting on the field right now. There's just kind of a collection of meh, as you put it. Only 3 a.m. here in Germany. I can't believe, did you stay up for baseball? I hope you didn't. He being Kiffin is top 8. I like that. Brian Kelly at 4 and Ryan Day at 2 is wild. I agree completely. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me at all. No way Brian Kelly and Dabo are in the top 5 in 2024. They wouldn't be in my top 5. Dabo and Kelly is absolute BS. CBS is full of bull. You guys really didn't like this ranking, did you? The SEC Live podcast crew put out their top 14 O-line running back wide receiver. Wait, what's OBRDWR? Are you saying quarterback, running back, wide receiver trio in the SEC, and they had Ole Miss at number 4? Number 4 in the SEC. I would need to see who would be in front. Who are the 3 teams in front of them? Because let's call it Bentley, because we don't know who's going to get the majority of carries for Ole Miss. But losing Judkins hurts in that kind of preseason ranking. I get it. But Dart and Trey Harris and Bentley are bested by 3. Schools in the SEC, what 3? I mean, maybe Texas would be 1, but didn't they lose their best? So it shouldn't be Texas. I guess it might be Texas. Who else? Georgia. Georgia ahead of Ole Miss is fine. Absolutely, that's fine. So Georgia being 1 is what they should be. But Georgia, Texas, and who? You guys really hated this list. This is hilarious. Personally, think Brian Kelly and Dabo are so overrated. Here's another one. That list is a complete joke. Brian Kelly that high? Give me a break. The only thing funnier than Brian Kelly's ranking here is Brian Kelly dancing for Walker Howard's visit. Lane Kiffin, number 1. I don't think he's proven that yet, but I do think that he sure as hell is not 14. If this were to theoretically happen, there's a good chance the powers that be will already have ruined college football before the Saudis can get to it. Oh, man. I, for one, am going to try my hardest. The business of college football is crazy right now. So talking about it is something that I think that we should do. But the more we talk about it, the less you guys seem to give a crap. And it's not because I don't think that you guys understand how significant these court cases and stuff like that are. What I'm starting to figure out is that you guys don't care because you still love the football and the football is still going to happen. So it just doesn't matter to you. I think that that's what's happening here. So As we go on, I know a lot of stuff keeps happening, and Dellinger had really good reporting today about how what I've talked with you guys about before, there may not be the money for Clemson and Florida State to join the SEC. Like, they may not have a home in the SEC. There's a real chance that they don't, because that would mean that Disney would have to give them $100 more million, and they may not want to spend that, considering where else their money is going and how they're losing money on a lot of things. That's interesting to me, but I think you guys just want to talk about not that. So less and less business of college football moving forward. That's my promise to you. You put Kiffin in the top five? Be hard to argue against you. I mean, I know some people would, but William, glad to hear it, man. Thank you for being a first timer, and appreciate Stephen for sending you this way. Thank you to both of you. That's awesome. Ryan Day is consistent, but they don't play better competition in their conference. Not only that, but I mean, is winning the way he's won at Ohio State impressive? To me, no. What separates Kirby from Ryan Day, for example, is one, Kirby's in a more difficult league, but Kirby has taken Georgia to the promised land, won a championship, multiple. He's become dominant. Ohio State has not become dominant under Ryan Day. They haven't won that championship. They're losing to their rival. They're just really good. And how much of them being really good is a product of where he is? You'll contradict yourself in a way, in the way I phrased it, I'd call Kirby, then probably Kiffin. Then you don't know. I wonder if those people who rank Kiffin 14 because of the stupid, quote, record in big games argument. I sure hope they didn't. I mean, that is such a ridiculous, false narrative. And, you know, but here's the thing about that. Here's Kiffin's opportunity to end all of that. I think it's garbage anyway. He never wins big games. They have hosted College Game Day. They've hosted College Game Day and won that game. That's not a big game. Only two teams in all of the SEC have more wins in the last 3 years than them. There's not big wins mixed in there. We're not talking about Georgia. We're talking about a guy trying to build the Ole Miss program. Beating LSU is a big win. That's a huge win, especially the way they went about it. That's big for Ole Miss, right? That's always been kind of a ridiculous narrative, but he can shut all that up, all of it up this season. He can end it this season. Go to Baton Rouge and win. I mean, I guess what those idiots are talking about is, well, he can't beat Alabama. Like, God forbid a guy couldn't beat Nick Saban's Alabama. Jeez. You think the way that they rate the coaches other than Kirby is what sticker is on the side of the helmet? That's part of it. Depends on the type of program you have. If I had a program with limited resources, I'd definitely call Lane before Kirby. If I had an unlimited resources, I'd call Kirby. Fair enough. Also, if Ole Miss loses tomorrow, I bet Bianco is gone. I need to talk to some more people again to try to gauge if anything has changed since the last time I talked to people about that. Because I want to tell you that I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. I don't think that's the case. It's a lot of money. The aforementioned court cases that might cost Ole Miss $20-ish million out of their budget moving forward might complicate this, but we'll see. Dabo is a clown. The only schools who didn't get a single recruit in the spring portal other than military schools was Clemson. Yeah, it is. I like I've said before, and you're new, William, and I appreciate you, but the rest of the people here have heard me say before that at least when it comes to Dabo, I respect the fact that he actually practices what he preaches when it comes to the transfer portal. His NIL stuff is a different conversation, but he doesn't like the portal. He doesn't want from the beginning, he said he doesn't want to use it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't think it fits the principles of his program, and so he doesn't sign portal players. I think it's a mistake. I think it'll ultimately be his downfall, but I at least appreciate that he is putting his quote-unquote money where his mouth is by not signing portal players. He says he doesn't like it, so he's not using it. It's going to cost him, but at least he's a football coach that's honest. Good to see you, Dell. Glad you're here. Dabo be talking smack and smoking crack. You like Sark? I like Sark too. He is good. He's a good coach, and I think that he has adapted to the era quite nicely as well. Brian Kelly would generate some memes. He's very memeable, isn't he? The angry red face is very easy to meme. You say Kirby, Kiffin, Sark, DeBoer, Lanning, Norvell, Day, Riley, Dabo, Leipold, Klieman, and Franklin as my top 12. I hear you. You'd put Kiffin at 4 ahead of Norvell. I hear you. Memphis Rebel, you get a shout out from Brandon having a good list. I agree. That's a good list, especially on the fly. I didn't give you guys a heads up we'd be talking about this tonight. You would take Whittingham and Heupel before Kiffin. Show your work on Heupel. Tell me why you would take Josh Heupel over Lane Kiffin. I would love to hear a little bit more on that. From what you've heard about Tyler Barron, you don't really care whether he's at Ole Miss or not. And it looks like, again, I could be reading the tea leaves wrong. It does look like they've moved on that. What did Princely hurt exactly? Labrum, I believe, is the correct answer there. I could be wrong, but he has 3 full months before game 1, and the first 2 games are nobody, so technically he has 3.5 months. And that's, you know, on one hand, you want the team to play together as much as humanly possible. On the other, it is very nice how this schedule sets up, because he does have at least another couple of weeks to get healthy before having to give it a go. Like, if he's still dealing with some shoulder stuff in training camp, they don't have to rush him back because it's Furman. It's his middle second, or is it middle second, right? It's Furman, middle, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern. I'm kind of embarrassed that I don't have that memorized. I should. I used to, by the way. I don't do this anymore. I used to have the entire SEC schedule memorized. I used to sit down and pull out the helmet schedule and have it down by memory. I don't do that anymore. Maybe I should start again, especially since I don't even know Ole Miss's schedule. But yeah, Furman, Middle, Wake, Georgia Southern, they really don't need him back until September 28th. Not ideal, not playing him until Kentucky, of course, but they don't have to rush. There's no hurry to get him back. So you'd rather have Khalil Jacobs over Barron at this point, but Khalil is at Missouri for a visit today. Interesting. So he left. What did he leave Ole Miss yesterday and went to Missouri today? You always want to be the last visit, at least I think you do, but you've heard Jamorius Brown is the standout freshman. A lot of guys saying he's going to be a problem, may not see him a whole lot this year, but you think if we keep him, his name is going to get really familiar. And, you know, for a lot of these young guys that aren't going to play much this season, like on the defensive line, there's going to be ample amount of playing time next season. So, you know, if for whatever reason they don't play a whole lot in 24, although Pete Golding really rotates guys on defense, they play a lot of guys on defense. You know, you guys know that. I mean, they're going to lose all the starters. All 4 of them are gone after this year. Princely, Nolan, Pegues, and Ivy, they're all gone. So even if you're getting limited snaps, in 25, the spot is yours for the taking, right? So I think retention on the defensive line, this past recruiting class, as good as it was, you always have to fear about retention in today's college football. Maybe not so much with these guys because the 4 starters are gone and a couple of depth pieces are going to be gone as well. State just beat Missouri, so Ole Miss will get at least 1 game next week. That's exciting. Lincoln Riley seems like he's kind of on an eerily similar career arc to Lane Kiffin. Now he just needs to get left on a tarmac, right? Clemson had its run and Dabo refused to adjust and keep saying crazy stuff. So you guys know I grew up in the upstate. So I've got a bunch of old friends that went to Clemson or are just Clemson fans. And some of them are still true believers in Dabo's way and think that he's going to figure it out. But you can even hear it through the true believers. There's a fear that they are locked into a mega contract that they can't pay the buyout for. And their coach is not prepared to adapt to this level and is not going to. And they're going to start losing and they can't get out of it. There's a real, real fear about that. If Judkins was still at Ole Miss, he wouldn't have been on the NCAA game cover. Same with Kiffin at Ole Miss, not top five. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think that if Judkins were at Ole Miss, he wouldn't be on the cover. I do agree with that. People are starting to catch up, though. You're starting to see Ole Miss's popularity really grow with younger people. I bet they'll be a pretty popular team choice on the college football video game. I know I just said that if Judkins were at Ole Miss, he wouldn't be on the cover, but I think the old guard in college football hasn't caught up to reality just yet. But I think young people look at it differently because all they've known, they haven't known a Nebraska, right? Recruits have never seen Nebraska dominate, be at the highest level. Notre Dame hasn't been a power. They're not a power in college football today, are they? They're a brand power, but are they a on-the-field power? No, they're not. They haven't won anything of value. So you've got these up-and-coming programs that are capturing attention, and winning now is all that matters to younger people. I think that that is where you're starting to see the growth at Ole Miss, is people nationally are kind of paying attention and giving them their accolades, but I think younger people are really recognizing what is happening. That's why you see it, how popular they are with portal guys and with recruits. But I think that that's this generation of college football fans that are going to grow up and be in media. They're going to look at it differently. It's just taking some time. You don't think they'll give DeBoer enough time? Their lunatics will probably have 2 10-2 seasons and a 9-3 and be cast away. Here's a wild thought. College football and conference realignment wasn't broken. It is now, though. You guys know me. I don't care about the money at all. It's the portal that I think is the issue. Technically, Judkins wasn't on the cover. His jersey was just an actor. Exactly. They can't win big games thing. You say they had two last year, LSU and Penn State. Exactly. But whatever. Whatever. Thank you for the super chat, adding to the Curtain Rod Collective. I appreciate you. You're too kind. Still never getting a curtain rod, but I thank you for contributing to the Curtain Rod Collective. I always say no to things, but we're making those shirts. Oh, man. I think koozies would be kind of funny, too. Or like a coffee mug or something. There's a screen printing store like right by my house. I've been meaning to go in there and see what they're capable of. So, early thoughts on if SEC tiebreakers are going to cause chaos amongst fan bases on who goes to the SEC championship. I only know some are going to get snubbed in the playoff. Six SEC teams with a relatively good shot of going 10-2 or better, and there's no way they let more than three in. Well, they might. They certainly might, depending on because don't forget, there's fewer conferences now. There's a power four, and we saw what the College Football Playoff Selection Committee thinks of the ACC, right? There's a clear mark of delineation between the Big Ten and the SEC, the SEC and the Big Ten, and then the other two, right? So maybe that will help them some. But part of me, as we've talked about before, wonders if going to the SEC championship is worth it. Because if you don't go, you would host a playoff game in your stadium. It's the same number of games unless you lose the SEC championship game. If you win the SEC championship, you don't get a home game. You get a bye, but the teams that don't go to the conference championship get a bye because they're not playing that weekend. So if you win the SEC championship, it's the same number of games anyway, but if you happen to go and lose, you're playing an extra game, a physical game too, like a big-time physical football game. It could cost you. I just don't know if going to the SEC championship is going to be all that important anymore. I mean, I guess you still want to do it for the accolades and whatnot, but it's just, it's not as big of a deal anymore. And that, I don't have a problem with that. Some people have a problem with that. I couldn't care less about the SEC championship. I just don't care. They have four games to get prepared, basically, in NFL preseason. Yeah, kind of. You just bought your season tickets too? Awesome. And thank you for being here. It's the offseason, so you're finishing watching recorded bowl games? Wow, you are dedicated. You are dedicated. For me, it's like I've got the PGA Championship this weekend that I'm locked in on, but I've been all, you know, I watched all of the NBA playoff games, or as much as I can anyway. Like, I'll watch the end of Denver, Minnesota when we get done, although I've got the Score app up right now, and Minnesota is absolutely smoking Denver right now. It's been a weird series, that one. Anthony Edwards is the truth, by the way. But, yeah, I've been keeping busy that way. I don't know what I'm going to do without postseason baseball, though. Hopefully for the radio show's sake. I know you guys don't care about this, but you know, State and Southern Miss need to stay alive as long as they can to keep the radio show interesting for a few more weeks before we dive into summer content. Heupel's record first 3 years at Tennessee is better than Kiffin's first three at Ole Miss. Is that entirely fair, though, when Ole Miss only played 10 games and they were all SEC games in the COVID season? I don't think that's particularly fair to Kiffin. I like Heupel. I mean, I think he's good. But Lane Kiffin's first 3 years that didn't involve COVID were, what, 10-2, 8-4, 10-2. Right? I hate when I question myself because I know the answers to these things, but yeah. So Heupel doesn't go for it in bad situations as much. Kiffin coaches too much like Lanning. Also, he hasn't recruited high school well. Maybe he would be better at Tennessee. Maybe not. 2027, we will know. But why is that some kind of – he hasn't recruited high school as well. Who cares? Is that – when you sign the number one portal class in the country, who cares about high school? It's about player acquisition. But – how many games has Kiffin's fourth down decisions won for Ole Miss? And how many of those fourth down decisions have he lost for Ole Miss? I don't know if he goes for it too much on fourth down. That has directly led to wins for them too. He hasn't recruited high school well. They did sign a top 20 high school class, but is that the only way to get players? And just measuring a coach's acumen in this era on high school recruiting is I just disagree with the methodology. Did I go to Ole Miss? Yes, I did. What got me to go to Ole Miss if I went there from South Carolina. Yes, I did go to Ole Miss, of course. My senior year of high school, after the new year, one of my best friends and I were just kind of screwing around in his bonus room. We had no idea where we wanted to go to school. I didn't want to go to Clemson or USC. It would have just been 13th grade. I was just looking for something else. And I visited Athens and I liked it, but there's no way in hell we could have afforded it. And I didn't like Tuscaloosa at all. I thought Auburn was okay, but like I had been some places around, but nothing was just really grabbing me. And his brother heard us just kind of talking about how neither of us knew what we were going to do. We had no idea. And he said he went to the South Carolina Ole Miss football game in 2008 in Oxford. And he was like, I regret not transferring the day I got home. You guys should go check it out. And so we did and got in on a Friday night. And I mean, this is February. This is late February before I made a college decision of my senior year in high school. And as we're pulling up, we're pulling into town, we just take the Old Taylor Road exit and we get stuck in baseball traffic. And there's guys lugging coolers to the baseball stadium. And so we decide, you know, like, let's forget dinner, whatever. I was supposed to have a meeting with a campus rep that night. And we skipped that to go to the baseball game. And they were playing Oakland University, the one that beat Kentucky in basketball, that Oakland. And there was an early home run. We were sitting down the first baseline. The beer shower thing happened. And the next morning, I was supposed to have a tour. I applied knowing I was going to school there before I even took a tour of the campus because of the atmosphere at baseball. So that is how I ended up at Ole Miss. And then I got this job after I graduated at Super Talk. And I was behind the scenes at first. And then I became a producer. And then I became an executive producer, I guess, is what the title was at the time. And then that became co-host and producer. So, you know, I'm very, very happy here in Mississippi. And it is home now. I grew up in South Carolina, but home is here. So. Pipe was good. You take him over Kelly, but not Lane. I agree. Oxford needs to start getting bigger. 6,000 plus incoming freshman class. Yes, and I hope they do it correctly, though. I hope they do it correctly because there's good growth and there's bad growth. And I hope the local officials there understand the difference. One of the reasons you believe Kiffin could be at Ole Miss for the long haul, there's something about Lane at Ole Miss that works that you're not sure translates to other programs. There are things that Ole Miss does for him that most places wouldn't allow or be okay with. The fit is perfect. It is an absolutely perfect fit. Connor, text me that name. I'll give them a look as well. Because there's I actually want to do something for a few buddies that I play golf with. I saw an idea on YouTube Shorts of all things, like something to get like your golfing buddies. And it's got to be screen printed, though. And so, yeah, let me know. You make koozies also? Then you reach out to me, too. Because I want to do something. So I hate passing over messages. I really do. But it is late, my friends. It is really late. So let's pick this. Let's pick this conversation up again on Sunday because I've got to go. There's a couple of things I have to do to get ready for tomorrow before little man wakes up. So you guys are the best. Thank you so much, as always. I love the live chat. These are so much fun. We didn't talk baseball. I know that was on the thing here, but is there anything that we can say that you guys don't already know about what happened in baseball tonight? I don't think so. So anyway, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I'm going to watch the PGA Championship myself, have a couple beers, clean the house. Hope you guys have a safe and happy weekend as well. We'll see you Sunday, 8 o'clock, Sunday night, 8 o'clock on the nose, and see y'all then.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th from their location across from Cannon Motors in Greenwood. Visit mdauction.com for more information. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.